In the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today we celebrate the salvation of mankind when the Lord offered himself on the cross. And the cross, even though it happened in a certain time, on a certain date in history, yet this incident was in the mind of God since the beginning. And the scripture told us about it from even the book of Genesis. Before everything starts, the cross was there. And one of the fascinating things is when we follow the prophecies about the cross in the Bible, and we find that in the Old Testament, all of the books writing something about Christ and his suffering and the crucifixion. One of the evidence that we can bring to those people who challenge us wherever we are in our workplaces and our schools, and they tell us that the Bible is not the word of God and include fables, and you don't have to believe it all, and we don't know really if this is what God said or not. You can bring before their eyes these verses that speaks about something that's going to happen after, when it is written by hundreds of years, how those people were inspired to tell us from the beginning about the crucifixion. Christ did not appear in history all of a sudden, claiming for himself to be the Son of God. All of the authors of the books of the Old Testament wrote in different times. They worked different things, and they all came with the same conclusion. So let us see and review some of the symbols or the cross in the Old Testament. تعالوا نرجع كده في العهد القديم ونبص على الصليب. الصليب مش حاجة كده ظهرت مرة واحدة أو السيد المسيح جه كده قال لنا إن هو ابن ربنا وخلاص وأنا هتصلب والحكاية كده. لا. الصليب ده كان في ذهن ربنا من البداية. خلينا نراجع ونشوف. By the way, all of the symbols that I'm going to talk about today are not the only ones. These are like samples. We can find tens of the symbols speaking about the sufferings. All of the readings that we have been following today speaks about the Lord Christ and his suffering. So the first one we are going to talk about today is the ram redeeming Isaac. And here we know the story about when God asked Abraham to bring his son and to offer him as a sacrifice. And then at the end of the story, we all read this passage. It says, and Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. What is unique about the story here is, yes, we know that a ram is redeeming the Isaac. But why the ram should be caught in a thicket? A thicket is like a bush or a tree. So he was like tied in a tree, and the tree is a symbol of the cross. And also at the end of the story, the conclusion is, now Abraham is going to call the place after an experience with God. Typically, the experience speaks in the sentence of the past or the present, saying, for example, the Lord is my banner. It's a stat, it's a present tense. But now Abraham is saying what? The Lord will provide. What he is talking about here, speaking about God will provide a redeemer for the children of men, so the children of men will not die. You remember when the Lord Christ said, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. When did Abraham ever see the day of the Lord? He saw it in this day, when he saw that the Lord will provide, and a lamb, the perfect lamb, will come to redeem mankind. أول نبوة نبوة بتاعت إسحاق بيتقدم وبعدين يقول لنا الكتاب كده إن هو إبراهيم شاف الحمل ده أو الخروف ده موثق في الشجرة بقرنيه. الشجرة اشمعنى موثق في الشجرة يعني؟ ما ممكن الحمل يبقى واقف كده وخلاص. عشان يقول لنا إن الشجرة دي هي الصليب. وبعدين إبراهيم وهو بيبني مسبح لربنا بيتكلم على خبرة هتحصل فيقول إيه؟ إن ربنا هيعطي. God will provide. مش ربنا أعطى خلاص. طب ما إبراهيم ربنا أعطى ربنا أنقذ ابنك اتكلم على إن الله خلص لا ده ما نتكلم على الخلاص اللي جاي God will provide. The second symbol we find it also in the book of Genesis. By the way, Abraham was before Christ almost 2,000 years and also Jacob around 1,800 years and this is before Christ. Here Jacob hands on Joseph's son's heads. We know the story about when Joseph brought his two children to Jacob, his father, to bless them. Manasseh was the older one, and Ephraim was the younger. So because Jacob's eyes were not very accurate at that time and his sight started to dim, then Joseph brought them to his dad, so Manasseh will be on his right hand. So whenever his dad stretches his hand, it should fall on the head of the older kid, Manasseh. But here we find Jacob did something amazing. We see then Israel here is Jacob, stretched out his right hand, laid on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly. It was not a mistake. He knew what he was doing. For Manasseh was the firstborn. So he made like a sign of the cross on the heads, and by doing this, what happened? The firstborn blessing went into whom? The younger one. What does it mean? For God, Israel, the nation, was his first son, the firstborn. And us, the Gentiles, are the son who is to come later. But when Jacob had the cross by his hand like this, what happened? The birthright transferred to whom? To the younger one. So now we are the new Israel. Now the younger one, this is the Gentiles, the ones who joined later on, they took the place of the older one. Look what the cross did. احنا هنا المثل ده بنشوف حصل ايه. منسّى الابن الكبير يعقوب عمل ايه؟ عمل علامة صليب وحط ايده اليمين على دماغ الصغير. ايه معناها؟ الابن الكبير هو اسرائيل عند ربنا. عشان كده يقول اسرائيل ده ابني البكر. واحنا الامم هو الابن اللي جه بعد كده، الابن الصغير اللي كان تايه ورجع. لكن الصليب عمل ايه؟ الصليب نقل حق البكورية لمين؟ للابن الصغير. فأصبحت البركة تقع على مين دلوقتي؟ علينا احنا. على الابن الصغير اللي هو مين؟ الأمم. شوفوا الصليب عمل ايه؟ يبقى الحركة اللي عملها يعقوب دي فيها دلالة رائعة على انتقال حق البكورية من الكبير للصغير، من إسرائيل للأمم. فإحنا دلوقتي نقول ان احنا ايه؟ إسرائيل الجديد. The third symbol is the Passover lamb. I don't want to repeat what Abuna said. Abuna mentioned to us يعني this symbol in details on Friday night. I'll just read the sentences and you can look at what is highlighted in green. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. Kill it, speaking about one lamb, even though every household will have one. But God still speaks about the true lamb. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh of that night, on that night. The blood on the doorpost is the sign of faith. I believe that blood will save. What is eating the flesh means? This is the communion. So when we say your faith is not the end of the story. Yes, you believe, you declare your faith by saying, I believe the blood will save me. But still, you need to do what? You need to eat the flesh. What if a person doesn't want to eat or saying it's not important? God says this, if someone doesn't eat, this soul will be cut from his people. النفس دي تقطع من الشعب. يبقى العلامة دي علامة الدم هو الإيمان وأكل الخروف هو إيه؟ التناول. ما نقدرش نقول عندنا إيمان وما بتناولش. ما ينفعش الحكاية دي. وإيه تاني؟ No foreigner shall eat it. But every man's servant who is bought for money, when you have circumcised him, then he may eat it. What is circumcision? Circumcision is a symbol of baptism. So a person who is not circumcised cannot eat of the lamb. As exactly now we say, a person who is not baptized cannot partake of the communion. People sometimes say, this person come to the church and he's a guest, why not to give him communion? We say the church is open and everyone is welcomed, but he has to be among the assembly. He has to be in the body of Christ. And what should be done? This person should be baptized before he can eat from the communion, the true lamb. You shall not carry any of the flesh outside of your house, nor shall you break one of its bones. And as we all know, Christ's bones were all intact and none of them were broken during his crucifixion. العلامة الرابعة أو الرمز الرابع, the tree that sweetened the water. This story also, we read it in Exodus. Exodus chapter 15. What happened? The people of Israel are traveling, and now they came to a water, like a fountain, and then they tried to drink. The water was bitter. They couldn't. So God asked Moses to do something that's very unique. He said, what? Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. So he cried out to the Lord. He is Moses. And the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. The tradition says even on this tree, they wrote the name of God, Yahweh. So what does it mean? As if like the cross will come to our lives and it changed the bitterness of this life that we live in into sweetness. Everything will have a meaning whenever we bless it with a cross. العلامة الثالثة هنا علامة الشجرة اللي ألقاها موسى في المية اللي هي كانت مية مرة وأصبحت مياه حلوة. أكن الصليب لو دخل حياتنا يحول المرار إلى حلاوة. لو إحنا فعلا الإنسان تمسك بالصليب في حياته، الحاجة الصعبة في حياته هيتذوقها على إن هي حاجة بركة، وتصبح الضيقة إيه؟ تصبح الضيقة سبب فخر، زي ما معلمنا بولس الرسول يقول إن إحنا مفتخرين في الضيقات. The fifth symbol is the symbol of the quail and the manna. I will read for you the verse and then I will explain what I mean by it. When Moses asked God, what are we going to eat? Then God told him, I will send you the food. The food will be quail, the bird that will come on the evening of every night. And in the morning, there will come the manna, this like kind of wafer that will come from heaven. But God told Moses something. When we look at it, we understand now why the quail and what is the manna, and why the manna in the evening and why the manna in the morning and the quail in the evening. At evening, you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, you shall see the glory of the Lord. As if like by the evening, they shed blood before they eat the quail. They have to kill it. And there is shedding of blood. And when they shed blood, this is a symbol of the Lord's crucifixion that happening at evening. And by then, they will know that they will delivered. They knew already at that time. Why God saying, knowing they will know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt, as if saying, in the evening, when you shed the blood, you will know that God delivered you. His promises are fulfilled. And in the morning, you will see what? The glory. What is the glory? The resurrection. So the quail came by night for a purpose, and in the morning came the manna for another purpose. In the Old Testament, there was sacrifices with blood. But in the morning of the resurrection, now we eat the manna, the Lord Christ himself that came to us. We eat him in the form of bread and wine. And that's why there is no shedding of blood anymore when we partake of the Eucharist. So the quail and manna were also symbols of the crucifixion in the evening and the resurrection in the dawn of Sunday. The sixth symbol, we all are acquainted with it, fighting the Amalekite. So here, what we all know, Moses, when he faced the people of Amalek, he asked Joshua to like choose people to fight against them. And what did Moses do? Moses stood on a hill, raising his hand, and his hands were stretched. He was like a cross. He was making himself like a cross. Every time his hand was up, Israel prevailed. And every time his hand got wearied and tired, and fell, then Amalek prevailed. So what happened is, Aaron and Hur supported his hand. So he will stay all the time lifting his hands in prayer, making the symbol of the cross. And by this, Israel conquered and prevailed. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. So what is the meaning? Every time our hands are lifted up in prayers, we prevail. Every time we learn how to come to God and always be in prayers, be in the likeness of the cross, we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, we will prevail. Every time our hands are down, prayers stopped for whatever reason, then Amalek, as a symbol of the devil, will prevail. The seventh one is hitting the rock. We all know the story, but let me explain what happened exactly. Israel now is in the wilderness, traveling, and they are thirsty. So what happened? And the Lord said to Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink." St. Paul explained to us that the rock was Christ. Look at the wordings. He told him, take with you the elders of Israel. Why? Because when the Lord was crucified, all the people were gathered. And then he said what? I will stand before you there on the rock. God saying to Moses, I will stand on the rock. So whenever you are striking the rock, you're striking whom? Striking me. And when you strike me, what will happen? Water will come and everyone will be watered and every thirst will be quenched. In the second time, when they faced the same situation, God asked Moses to do what? He said to him, take with you, and the next time, take Aaron, and don't strike the rock. Just talk to it, and it will give you water. So what is the symbol? In the first time was the crucifixion. In the second time was what? The liturgy. What will happen in the liturgy? You need whom in the liturgy? Aaron, who's a symbol of the priesthood. And then you don't need to crucify Christ anymore. He was crucified once. You just talk to him. He will give you the same body and the same blood that he offered on the cross. المثل ده المثل بتاع الصخرة ده قال عليه معلمنا بولس الرسول والصخرة كانت المسيح. خدوا بالكم من الكلام. قال له خد معاك مجموعة من يعني أهل إسرائيل من الناس من الشعب يعني من الإلدرز. أول مرة ما قالوش خد معاك هارون وقال له اعمل ايه؟ قال له أنا هقف على الصخرة وإنت اضرب الصخرة. ليه؟ عشان زي ما يكون موسى هو بيضرب هو شايف مين على الصخرة؟ شايف المسيح على الصخرة. فلما بيضرب أكنه بيصلبه هو ومعاه كل الإلدرز شيوخ إسرائيل. المرة الثانية قال له ايه بقى؟ قال له لا خد معاك هارون وخد معاك إسرائيل. هارون بيرمز لإيه؟ للكهنوت. والمرة الثانية قال له ما تضربش الصخرة اتكلم معاها. عشان المرة الثانية هي ايه بقى؟ هي القداس اللي احنا بنتناول فيه. احنا مش محتاجين نصلب المسيح مرة تانية. احنا بنيجي ناخد من نفس الجسد ونفس الدم بس مجرد ان احنا بنصلي اليه. مش محتاجين ان حد يضرب الصخرة. طبعا موسى في المرة التانية فقد اعصابه وضرب الصخرة مرتين وربنا عاقبه واحنا عارفين القصة. لكن هنا ربنا بيرمز واضح جدا. اول مرة ضرب الصخرة وانا واقف عليها ربنا واقف عليها معناها الصليب. تاني مرة معناها مجرد ان هو تتكلم معاها بس. The eighth symbol is the law of purification of the leper. شريعة تطهير الأبرص. في الشريعة دي, it's very يعني amazing what God asked the priest to do. He told them, I will read you the passage and then we explain it together. Then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed two living and clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. Two birds, a piece of wood, a scarlet, and a hyssop. A hyssop is like a plant that looks very humble but has very deep roots. And then what will happen? I will read the rest of the story and then I explain to you. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. So the priest will kill one of the birds. So now blood will be in the water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle it seven times on him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. What is the symbol here? What is the meaning? The two birds, actually, one of them is Christ crucified and the other one is Christ rising from the dead. At the end of the story, you will see this bird with blood flying. So as if like he was dead and now is raised because he's flying with blood. And then the priest will take all of them. What all of these resemble? The wood resemble the cross. And then the bird that's now his, the living one, represent the divine nature of Christ. And the hyssop that comes from the ground resembles what? His human nature. The scarlet will be resembling the blood. All of this will be wrapped together as if Christ crucified on the wood, and will take it into this water, mix it with blood, dip it into it, take it out, sprinkle it on the liver, and the liver will be cleansed. This is a symbol. What is going to happen to us? Through his blood, we will be cleansed from the stain of death, from sin. And then what? The bird will be loose, a fly dripping blood, as if like it was dead and now it was risen. So look here what God meant for us to understand. ايه المعنى؟ اقوله بالعربي بسرعه كده. الطائرين دول واحد فيهم بيرمز للمسيح المصلوب لانه بينذبح والميه والدم بتاعه ينزل في الميه. والثاني اللي هو بعد كده بيتساب بعد ما يحطه في الميه اللي بالدم ويطير بيرمز للمسيح القائم. فالناس لما تبص كده يشوفوا ايه؟ يشوفوا عصفور بينزف او بينزل منه دم بس هو طاير مش ميت. وبعدين الخشبه بترمز للصليب. ونبات النبات الهيسوب ده بيرمز الى طبيعه المسيح اللي هي الجسد لان هو انسان كامل اللي جاي من الارض يعني. والطائر الثاني بيرمز الى طبيعته الالهيه. والسكارلت ده بيرمز للدم. كل ده مع بعض يتحط في الميه والدم، والميه والدم دول يترشوا على الرجل الابرص، فالرجل الابرص ده يحصل له ايه؟ يتطهر. يبقى الدم بيطهر عن طريق ايه بقى؟ عن طريق المسيح المذبوح المصلوب على الصليب. بصوا الرمز هنا قد ايه قوي وقد ايه واضح وقد ايه رائع. على فكره يا جماعه الرموز دي يعني فعلا يعني بتوضح لنا قد ايه الانجيل بتاعنا ده انجيل كلمه ربنا بالحرف، ما حدش كتبه من دماغه. على فكره وهو موسى بيكتب الكلام ده ما كانش فاهمه بيكتب ايه، هو بيكتب زي ما ربنا قال له، بس احنا دلوقتي فاهمين. الحاجه التاسعه او المثل التاسع هو المثل او السيمبل اوف ذا كلاستر اوف جريبس from the promised land. God ordered Moses to send the 12 spies. They will go to the promised land and they will come with a report. Not only a report, they will come some, bring some of the fruits. And then what happened? Then they came to the valley of Eshkol and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. The cluster of grape was big enough to be carried between two men on a pole. This cluster of grape resembles Christ, the one who is coming to us from the promised land, carried on a cross between two men. One of the two men is carrying him while not seeing because he is on his back. And the other person is seeing Christ in front of him. The person in front resembles the people of the Old Testament, who brought to us the report about the crucified Christ without knowing. They told us a story, but they didn't know. They were carrying him to us, not understanding. And the person in the back who is carrying the pole and the cluster of grape in front of him are the ministers of the New Testament, who told us about Christ, knowing, seeing, touching him, speaking to us with what exactly they examined and they saw by their eyes. المثل هنا بقى ده بتاع العنقود العنب اللي جاي من أرض الموعد. موسى بعت 12 واحد يتجسسوا الأرض الميعاد، رجعوا له شايلين عنقود عنب كبير قوي، شايلينه على عصاية كده. العنقود العنب ده بيرمز لمين؟ بيرمز للمسيح. ليه؟ لأنه جاي من أرض الميعاد. المسيح ده مش جاي لنا من السماء، أرض الميعاد بتاعتنا. وبعدين متشال على خشبة، الخشبة دي هي إيه؟ هي الصليب. اتنين رجاله شايلينه، واحد شايله ومش شايفه وواحد شايله وشايفه. اللي شايله وهو وراه ده مين؟ دول انبياء العهد القديم. جم جابوا لنا المسيح وهم مش شايفينه، كلمونا على حاجات عنه بس هم ما كانوش واخدين بالهم فمش شايفينه. الراجل اللي ورا ده مين بقى؟ اللي ورا اللي شايل ده هو ايه؟ رسل العهد الجديد اللي جابوا لنا المسيح وهم ايه؟ شايفينه، بيكلمونا عن حد هم اختبروه. شوفوا هنا قد ايه المثل واضح وجميل. The tenth symbol is the bronze serpent. This is Christ himself told us about it. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when it looks at it, shall live. So what happened is, Israel were grumbling against God. The serpent came killing them. And Moses cried, and God asked Moses to lift up this serpent of bronze on a pole. Everyone who is bitten, look at it, will be healed. By the way, Christ himself explained this to us in John chapter 3. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the old, then the Son of Man also will be lifted up on the cross. He told us about this. We don't have to do our own effort here. So why a serpent? A serpent is a cursed beast. From the story in the Genesis, we understand that God cursed this one. And Christ, when he was on the cross, he received the curse of all of us. As if like he became for us a curse. So through him, when we look at a sign that's used to kill, we will be healed. When we put our hope in the cross, we will be healed from the sting of death. The 11th symbol is the law of the cities of refuge. What is the cities of refuge? I will read it to you and I'll explain to you. So the congregation shall deliver the manslayer from the hand of the avenger of blood. And the congregation shall return him to the city of refuge where he had fled. And he shall remain there until the death of the high priest who was anointed with the holy oil. God instituted this for Israel. He said, whenever someone kill a person by mistake, didn't mean it, you make certain cities. People who kill by mistake run to it. No one can go after him. The priest has to secure this person. And then this person is going to stay in the city until what? Until the high priest will die of that time. So when the high priest die, what will happen? This person will go back home. Imagine with me all the people in the city of the refuge city, what they were looking to, what they were dreaming is going to happen. The high priest would die. We are waiting for his death. Why? Because when he dies, we will be back home. This is exactly what happened. All humanity was looking for what? The death of the high priest. So we are going to go where? We'll go back home. The paradise that we missed because of our mistake. All bending the death of the high priest. Again, look at the symbol and look how God prepared all of the humans. That whenever he comes, everything is prepared. If anyone has eyes and mind that can think, everyone will come to the conclusion that all of this happened literally when Christ came and was crucified. The last one is not a symbol. It's just a reading from Psalm 22 that we read it many times. I'll just read it with you again, just to bring to you the magnificence of the Old Testament, speaking about this incident that we are celebrating today. When Christ said, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is David. Why are you so far from helping me? All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. All of this never happened with David. Never. And then they continue with this very clear sayings. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots. As I said, this never happened with David. The people who are deceived nowadays, who are trying to make us to doubt the Bible, they say, you know what? Christ knew about all of these symbols, and then he fulfilled them on purpose. Tell me how he fulfilled this one, that he would ask the soldiers to cast lots for his clothes. He will come saying, please come and crucify me so that this is going to be fulfilled. And for what purpose? So, of course, this was written in order for us, whenever it happens, we can see and learn and trust what we believe, knowing that this is the Son of God coming to us in the flesh to redeem mankind as he told us, as the Bible prophesied and foretold us about all of the incidents of his life from the time of his crucifixion, from the time of his birth to the time of his resurrection. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.